This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We got Virginia baseball tonight. Loser leave town match against Texas. Winner goes on to jump on Mississippi State tomorrow night. We know that NC State's going to see Vanderbilt again. Compliments of the Doors, ridiculously crazy comeback win with two outs and two strikes and nobody on the bomb tonight. They found a way to rally past Stanford. Cardinal heading home back to Palo Alto where they can have to sit there and watch the first place Giants if they want any baseball love. And that's what we got, Wes. We got a big game tonight. We got a big one tomorrow afternoon and hopefully another big one for the ACC tomorrow night out in Omaha.
Yeah, hopefully so, right? With a 2 o'clock start with NC State and Vanderbilt. And then let's hope we get Virginia going tomorrow night, too. The idea of kind of how all this is coming along leads us back to the conversation about Brian O'Connor and elimination games, right? I mean, Virginia's just been tremendous when facing elimination this year, trying to match a feat that was only accomplished by Wayne Graham's Rice Owls back in 1999. When they won seven elimination games in an NCAA tournament. They can achieve that mark tonight. They've done it in the regionals and certainly in the supers and now have to pull it off again here in Omaha. So to me, that's the biggest storyline for Virginia. For Texas, it's a little different. Longhorns, who you know lost in the opener to Mississippi State, were able to bounce back, and I think you said it was, Tanner Witt the other night, Pack, who helped them dismiss Tennessee from the event, and now all of a sudden Texas, the number two overall seed, probably has some momentum in their kit to see Virginia this afternoon.
They don't think they do. They definitely do. I mean, if you're still alive and kicking and you have a pulse, you've got momentum. And they've already faced the elimination situation. You mentioned Tanner Witt, and he joined me on the radio show right after the game, which was in the afternoon against Tennessee. But listen, this is the number two national seed. This is not a team that isn't used to the moment. You mentioned earlier 37 appearances in the College World Series. Texas fans, going back to Augie Garrido and even beyond, Texas and Omaha are just kind of synonymous. Hey, we're supposed to be in Omaha. We're supposed to be winning national championships. That's the mentality of Texas baseball. Yep. And so they expected to be here. And Virginia has played themselves in this position. And again, if you're worried about what happened the other night, man, you got to put that in your rearview mirror and move on and take care of business tonight. But this is not going to be easy because Pete Hansen's on the hill for Texas, and this guy is filthy good. And I mentioned earlier for the folks that do follow college baseball year-round, they've all talked about the thing that makes Texas unique is they don't have one arm. They don't have two arms. They've got three tremendous starters. And you're going to see Pete Hansen for the first time. And just look at the numbers on the screen. He's not messing around. 1.79 ERA. He is filthy good. So Virginia's got to grind it tonight. And we'll see what happens. I thought Daniel Pinheiro said it best. You got to do the little things to win a game like this tonight. And that is certainly going to be magnified under the bright lights in Omaha.
You bet. Mike Vassell, by the way, is the most experienced pitcher on Virginia's staff. Who will go tonight for the Cavaliers. In other developing news last night out in Omaha, NC State has its Friday afternoon opponent, and it's the same team they played on Monday, right? And that's the Vanderbilt Commodores because Vanderbilt last night got a wild pitch in a tie game in the bottom of the ninth to send Stanford home. An amazing finish for the second night in a row. And we've had some really, really unbelievable ball games so far out in Omaha. And last night's wild pitch was just the latest. Brandon Beck, the Pac-12 pitcher of the year, who had started game one against NC State out in Omaha, comes in last night and threw it on the screen. Pac, and the ball game ended. I mean, just a bizarre, bizarre finish.
He was great last night. He comes in the seventh inning, shuts Vanderbilt down, shuts him down in the eighth. And really, life was good. Stanford's got a 5-4 lead, two outs in the bottom of the ninth, and two strikes on the batter. They are one strike away from game, set, match, catch you later, let's go play NC State again. And here's the wild pitch ball game. But, I mean, they go walk, infield single, throw away the ball, and now you got runners on the corners with two outs. Next guy gets a base hit, ties the game. Runners are still on the corner. Next thing you know, he throws one in the upper deck, and the guy from Vanderbilt just cruises on in from third. And Vandy hit the ball hard one time, once, with two outs, two strikes, and nobody on base trailing, and won the game. So just a crushing loss for Stanford. And unlike what happened to Virginia the other night, yeah, that was a tough one. That was a gut-wrenching loss. But there's another day for the Hoos. There's no more days for the Cardinal. They're out. And for Vanderbilt, they won one game in extra innings earlier this week. That was a crazy comeback last night. And now all of a sudden, if you're Vandy, guess what? Your big boy is 1-2. Rocker and potential again. Here we go. Down the road again. You know, you got Rocker tomorrow afternoon if you're Vandy. You got to love that situation. If you're NC State, I thought Boo Corrigan said it great too. Hey, you know what? They got to beat us. We're the one with the zero on the loss column.
Right.
Yeah, we're the one that went to Louisiana Tech. We went to Fayetteville, beat Arkansas. We've beaten everybody we've seen so far. So, yeah, Vandy's got to beat NC State. So that is tomorrow afternoon.
Yep.
And like I said, if you don't like baseball, man, you're missing out because this tournament is tremendous.
Yep.
So big storylines tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And looking forward to it. We'll recap Virginia, of course, tomorrow and highlight a lot of what is going to happen with NC State and Vanderbilt as well from Omaha on tomorrow's edition of Packer and Durham. So you get the Cavaliers in Texas tonight, NC State, Vanderbilt tomorrow afternoon. That's the way the schedule works out for the ACC in Omaha. When we come back here in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to Estela Perez Somariba from Portugal. By the way, I think that's our first international guest.
It is.
Live international guest, Pac.
Unless you count Cartersville, Georgia being an international destination, that would be correct. That would be true, accurate. Portugal, that's where we're going. 9:30.
Yeah, Portugal. Cartersville is not international.
Okay, then Portugal will be our first.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
It's time, though, for a little true or false. Brought to you by the good folks at Dish.
Yeah.
I'm going to give Dish. Anytime we do true or false, I'm going to give Dish love, whether the logo's on there or not. It's just become synonymous with the show. Right? Dish. True or false, the true or false segment all sponsored by Dish today. False. Let's go to all Bristol. Right.
Voice of victory.
Let's get it. Hold on.
Where is he?
Voice of victory. Here we go.
How you doing there, son?
Voice
good.
Of victory.
Good to see you.
How are you?
There he is.
There he is. The voice of victory. Yep.
Before we give away any more free advertising, let's get to today's questions.
True.
True or false. Presented by true. Voice of Victory Soap. First one. In tonight's UVA versus Texas game, winner take all, the team that scores first will win.
Oh, man.
False. False. Well, listen, we've got nothing but rallies and crazy comebacks. Let's just keep doing this nonsense, this comeback stuff. I'm going to go false.
Yeah, I'll go false. I think you're right. At some point, the trend continues, and it has happened the last couple nights, so let's go with it tonight too, right? Team that scores first didn't win the last couple nights, so we'll go that route.
Who knows? Who knows? It's like a sponsorship. Yeah. Who knows? All right, next one.
All right, you want to talk about trends? How about this trend of one-run ball games? NC State has had three of them in their last four games. That is true. They are playing Vanderbilt, who, of course, their last game last night was a one-run game. So, true or false, the winning margin in tomorrow's game between NC State and Vanderbilt will be one run.
False.
False. I agree with Pac. Yeah, we're getting down into some really interesting times now. I think the tight games will be there, but I think you can also get some sideways.
Mm-hmm.
So, just hope the Wolfpack's on the right side.
That's it.
Do you think it'll be closer to one run or 19 runs, like their first Super Regional?
And listen, 21-2, all that was one L. That's all that was.
Mm-hmm.
All it was one loss.
Yep.
So you're saying it doesn't carry over to the next day.
It true. Does not carry over. Promise you it doesn't.
True.
Let's go to a little football action here. We were just speaking to Dave Clawson a little bit ago, about a half hour, 15 minutes ago. What you may not know is that Wake Forest set a program record for points in a season last year with 36. In fact, all four of their highest scoring seasons in program history have come in the last four seasons. So, true or false, mm-hmm. the Deacs will break the record that they set last year for points per game.
True.
Ooh, false. False. I think they'll score, but I'm not sure they're going to have – I mean, it could be wrong. I'm just interested to see kind of how they develop offensively. You know, Christian Beal-Smith is back. Donovan Green, Ja'Cory Roberson. They've got guys that can make plays. Should be pretty good in the offensive line. Logan Tom, by the way, is a preseason All-ACC choice. And Phil Steele's magazine. We'll see how this all comes together. I just think 36 is a big number.
36 is a big number. But Sam Hartman's back. And you know who's excited about Sam Hartman being back? My daughter. She's rooting for Sam Hartman. And all those wide receivers are back. They got weapons, Wes. They got weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think you got to look at the schedule a little bit when you do a question like this one, right? You got to look and figure out, all right, who are you playing, right?
Right.
I'll tell you what, I see some teams on here where they can score. Norfolk State, right? Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Wes, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah.
At Army.
But 36 is a big number.
Duke's on there. 36 is a big
number, Coach.
Boston College.
Yeah.
At Syracuse. No, I don't know. I'm going to go over that. I look at this schedule and you're like, you know what?
All right.
I see some teams on here where they can put some big numbers. Because I think the Deacs are going to score, my man.
Can we mark the tape on this one, Voice of Victory?
We always mark the tape, but we never get back to it. We got a whole warehouse of marked tape. We'll forget this one by tomorrow. We'll come back here for tomorrow's show and be like, remember what we were talking about yesterday? True. No, I really did not. I have no idea. I can't even remember.
No, we don't. All right.
Don't mark the tape. Don't waste some time marking more tape. What's next?
A little bit of a rogue true or false, though. True or false, Phil Steele's magazine is the most accurate magazine 36 years running.
According to Phil, probably true. It would be true.
According to Phil, true. Yes.
According to his competitors, that would be false.
Wow. Yeah.
False.
Question, the better question is true or false that we'll get one delivered here to the basement this year. True or false? That's
false.
A bigger question.
That's true.
That'd be false.
Phil's a good guy.
It's a false.
Phil is a good guy. True, but it will be delivered false.
All right. Moving on
false,
here.
Yeah.
Mark Emmert came out with a statement yesterday about temporary measures for NIL being in place by the 1st of July. True or false? Those measures will, in fact, be in place.
True or false, Mark Emmert is the $3 million pinata. True.
If, however. Oh, wait. Here's the statement. Let me read this for
Why
you.
Why do we do this?
The president of the National Collegiate Athletic Association said, quote, although permanent NIL rule changes by July 1 are unlikely due to the legal environment, comma, we are working with divisional governance bodies to develop interim solutions that will fairly allow student athletes to take advantage of NIL opportunities, regardless of the state in which they are enrolled. Our intent is to have interim measures in place by July 1, end quote.
My head hurts. You know what? I'd rather hang out with the Vanderbilt Whistler than to listen to Mark Emmert come out with another statement about what he's going to do. Oh, I'm sorry. The $3 million pinata. I vowed on radio yesterday I'd never mention his name again. I just call him the $3 million pinata. So, I mean, whatever, dude.
If, however, whatever.
True and false for him. It's true and false.
How's that?
Good enough for me. One more on the field football question before we get ready for Estela Perez Somarriba. We spoke with Frank Cignetti yesterday.
True.
And he had the pleasure, that is true, he had the pleasure of coaching Hunter Long last
year. That's also true.
Who was first team all ACC at tight end and is now a Sunday dude. So without Long in the mix, true or false, Virginia Tech's James Mitchell, who we spoke about with Justin Fuente, has the crown as best tight end in the ACC.
I'm going to go true.
Well, has that will be the best tight end?
Yeah.
I'm going to go true.
Okay.
I'll tell you why,
Will
Wes.
Mallory? What about Braden Galloway?
Listen, I think Clemson's got a handful that you can throw.
Lucas Kroll.
There's all kinds of dudes. But let me tell you why I think Mitchell's the man. Because not only does he have great hands and he can block, but you know what? Virginia Tech used him almost as a back sometimes. They got him in the ball in the backfield handoff. This guy can run. This guy can catch. He can block.
Yeah,
This guy is a player. And he's been on our show, James Mitchell.
Well, there you go. So I'm going to say false. I'm going Lucas Kroll, by the way. Lucas Kroll can I look, I love James Mitchell's athleticism. This is a 1A, 1B deal in my mind. But I think Lucas Kroll is going to have a tremendous year at Pittsburgh. I really do. I think Lucas Kroll's got a chance to blow the top off the deal. So, but Mitchell will be there. He's a heck of an athlete. Not a good athlete. He's a great athlete.
Sunday guy.
And playing tight end, it is scary.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
We're about ready to break ground on something new on the show. This is show number 414.
International.
We mentioned that we're going to go to Portugal, and we just found out that our next guest has left Portugal and has decided to go back to Madrid, Spain. So we're going to go to España. I've been to Madrid. Madrid is like, awesome.
I feel like Edward R. Murrow, you know, when we do the international reports here.
That's what we're doing now, brother. Get your
Cristiano
Spanish ready.
I'm poor, something like that.
Let's go to Madrid.
Okay. Estela Perez Somarriba joins us from Madrid this morning. The ITA National Player of the Year from the University of Miami. She's got the Canes jersey on this morning. Good morning, Estela. Congratulations on the National Player of the Year award.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Also, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to join the show.
Estela, first of all, let's talk international here. This is our first international interview on the show. You've been on the program before. We promoted the fact that you were going to be in Portugal. So what was going on in Portugal? How is the tennis in Portugal, and why are you in Madrid?
Well, so I just started my professional tennis career, which is a very exciting chapter of my life. I played my first pro tournament over there last week. And it was actually great. And, you know, I got to see the level. I got to play against really good players. And I lost yesterday morning, so I was able to come back in the evening. So, yeah, it's always nice to get home.
Yeah, I bet. I'm going to follow up with you real quick. I just want to follow up on something. Okay. Now that you've gone pro, how did it feel so totally different than Miami and NCAA tennis? So from again, I know that was a career goal. Hey, I'm going to go pro. You've had great success on the college level. So what was that like walking out on the court as a professional tennis player?
Well, honestly, it's completely different. I was trying to imagine my coach, Paige Jarosz-Tews, on my court cheering for me and telling me what to do after each point. Obviously, competing next to your teammates is special, and now you know in this type of tournaments you're basically alone. So it's a different type of challenge, but I think that I've improved a lot over my time in Miami, and I'm ready for this. So I'm just trying to make the most of it and understand how this works.
Estela, there were so many challenges to play this particular season on the collegiate level. And obviously, you were incredibly successful. You were the national runner-up. You had a great ACC season. All these things come into play. So how did getting through this collegiate season prepare you for your professional debut?
Well, I was personally very excited to be able to compete representing my university. There was so much uncertainty going on last year that none of us knew if we were going to be able to play. So I think that I was just very grateful throughout the whole season. I never took anything for granted. I was really trying to make the most of every moment on the court, off the court, next to my coaches, my teammates. And as you said, I had to face a lot of challenges, but I think I embraced them, and I had an amazing season. I had so much fun, and I left UM like I always wanted to. So that's special for sure.
I know that you're glad to be home in Madrid, Spain, but what do you miss about Miami already?
I mean, the Cuban coffee, the cortadito in the mornings has made my day so much better. the sunsets, I guess, the weather, the palm trees, the ocean. There's no ocean in Madrid, so I'm really missing out on that.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I have been lucky and blessed enough to go to Madrid, and that is one beautiful city. I know that you loved Miami, and we had a good time with you talking about that before, but it's got to be cool to be home, though, isn't it, given what you accomplished in the States and what you now want to accomplish as a pro?
Sorry, say it again.
I was going to say, you had such great times at Miami, but now that you've gone to this next chapter, going back home to Madrid's got to feel great, right? I mean, it's really, you got to kind of feel like you're, and this, like you mentioned, a new chapter. It really is in every sense of the word, but just being able to be home and familiar sightings and all that stuff, it's got to feel good.
Well, I mean, honestly, I love being at home. I love spending time with my family. I love the Spanish culture overall. I love, eating dinner at 9 p.m. instead of at 6. Those details that, just make a difference. I just loved my time in the States. It's a great country that really taught me a lot of things. And, honestly, I'm just very, very happy to be back. And, it's also travel around Europe and discover other countries in Europe that I've never been to.
Hey, Estela, how does this pro thing now work? I mean, obviously you play in Portugal. I know there are a variety of tours, but as you start your professional career, take us through kind of at least what the early stages are going to be like.
Basically I need to start playing the lower level tournaments in order to improve my ranking. I focus on playing college tennis over the last 5 years, so playing pro tournaments was never a priority for me. So now I just need to improve my ranking, and as I do that, I'm going to start playing better tournaments, which means more points, and hopefully, I keep winning, and that takes me through the next steps. Finishing in the top 100 is a goal for me as of right now in the WTA tour. The lifestyle is just different. You need to travel every week. You need to have your, everything just under control. You need to have your fitness under control. You need to basically do it all yourself. When I was in Miami, you have this trainer, you have a nutritionist, you have your coaches that, book the courts for you. You don't have to do anything. So now it's kind of different. I think I'm growing in other aspects. But I think that I really know what I need in order to succeed and in order to win and also enjoy this process. And I'm definitely taking it one step at a time and learning from every experience that I go through.
Hey, Estela, I was in Barcelona 2 years ago, and I really got used to those 10 p.m. dinners. I got to be honest with you. that made a lot of sense to me to be going out at 10 p.m., and we're just getting started at 10. So now that you're a pro, you got to really pay attention over there in España, because let me tell you something. The one thing I know about that country is that those folks love to live life. That I know for a fact. So you be careful over there, those 9 p.m. dinners, all right?
No, no, I know. I mean, honestly, I think that's the right way to do it.
I'm sorry, it is.
America. But that being said, I think that I'm very responsible, and I'm also surrounded by very responsible people as well.
I love it.
So, you know, if I have practice the next day, you know, I'm gonna be at home at like 11 p.m. max. So we're good.
I got you. I want to follow up with you. You mentioned being over back home in Spain and being able to travel. There's places that you would like to go visit and play. What would be on your list?
Well, I've never been to Greece, for example, and there are a lot of tournaments over there. It's an area where the ITF and WTA are developing a lot of tournaments over there. You know, I've been to Italy, but I never played there. So, you know, it's always nice to play on clay as well. I don't know. And obviously I'm planning on going back to the States and play tournaments over there as well, even though I've been there many times. But, again, I just think that I need to find the right fit for me and the tournaments that, fit in my schedule and my type of tennis as well.
Hey, Estella, you know what's cool about Italy is that they like to have dinner at 11 p.m. East, an 11 p.m.
I know,
dinner.
They are worse. They are worse than Spanish. You gotta be very careful.
You got that right.
All right. Real quick, when you go back home, now I know both your parents are very successful. I think your dad's a professor and your mom's an architect. Does your mom still own the winery? Does your mom still got the winery?
Yes, I have plenty of wine here.
Wes, wine is water in Spain. Wine is agua.
Yeah.
I know.
honestly, I've said it many times, but, you know, I'm very lucky that I've always had a family that really supported me, and they passed down the respect for hard work. And my parents, I mean, they are entrepreneurs, and they fought a lot for their dreams. And I guess that really had an impact on me and also on my sisters. It's very impactful and meaningful to see your parents really fighting for something. And I mean, the winery is something that they really wanted to start, you know, a few years ago. And the hard work that has been put in, it's amazing. The investments, everything. But I really value that. And honestly, you know, now when we sit down and we have dinner and we are tossing with our own wine, it's very fulfilling. And I don't know, it means a lot.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I tell you what, Estella, I know you got your parents have got this unbelievable winery. We got plenty of shelf space in Mark's basement on our show. So if there's an extra bottle or something they want to ship over, we'll give you a little exposure and advertising. How's that for Spanish wine in the on the ACC network? Does that work?
I think it works very, very well. Just send me the address.
Yeah.
Hey, Estelle, I will say this.
There you go.
I will say this. What you just said, though, about your family and everybody rolling up their sleeves and getting to work and having been to Italy and going through a couple of the wineries, and you see families that do it. I mean, everybody's involved. Grandparents, little kids. Everybody's involved, and the pride that everybody takes to say, hey, listen, this is our product. This is our hard work on the table, and to share it with friends and family. It's what it's all about. So I totally respect where you're coming from with that. And I can obviously tell that's had an effect on your tennis because, you know, you put in the work.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it comes across. So I just want you to know that. And I respect that too. Great deal.
Well,
thank you.
Tell you what,
thank
we
you
wish you all the best. Wish you all the best as your pro career gets started. It's been great to have you back on the show. We look forward to following your next steps, okay?
Well, thank you very much. I mean, I'm looking forward to keep following college tennis and the ACC. And, you know, it's such a great conference. And I'm excited for what's ahead of it.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a really busy international flavored Thursday show.
She's, you know, great, isn't she?
Estella was on with us once before, and she was tremendous. She was really fun and enlightening, and obviously a great player. And the fact that she's back home, wearing her Canes jersey in Madrid, chasing her dream as a professional, could not be happier for her. And a great representative of not only Miami tennis, but again, the student athletes in this league. And we've had so many international players, if you will, that have been on this show. And that's the first time we've gone across the pond, if you will, to beautiful Madrid, Spain, which is a gorgeous city. Really fantastic. Great having her on.
No doubt. One day, hopefully, she's in the Olympics. We got some ACC flavor in the Olympics from the United States. Team USA's roster for basketball was announced yesterday. And a couple of ACC alums, Jason Tatum of Duke, Jeremy Grant of Notre Dame, headed to the Olympics. Or Syracuse is Jeremy Grant. I'm sorry, Jaren Grant was the Notre Dame, right?
You had breaking news on me there for a second. I was like, wow, really? Well, that's amazing.
You know what? The Grants, my fault. Jeremy Grant, Syracuse, Jaren Grant, Notre Dame. Sorry.
We do one international interview.
Alumni cards up.
Yeah, we do one international and interview, and you got people going all over the place. Yeah. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. We got five players named to the United States women's national team in soccer, representing Boston College, North Carolina, Virginia, and Christy Mewis and of Boston College, then Crystal Dunn and Tobin Heath of Carolina, Becky Sauerbrunn and Emily Sonnet of Virginia. So our congratulations to them. They will represent Team USA in women's soccer.
Excellent.
So there is a I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said that's all great. It's hard to believe that the Olympics, even though we lost it last year, we're going to try to pull it off this year. Been watching a bunch of the trials, track and field and swimming here the last couple of weeks, and kind of get you in the mood for a little Olympic fever coming up. It's going to be good. Hopefully we have it.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw this picture early this morning, Pac, and I wanted to send it to us because it kind of ties together a little bit of generational stuff. Michael Chadwick grew up in the Charlotte area, went to the Missouri as a swimmer, and then his coach at Missouri became the head coach at North Carolina. Well, at North Carolina 50 years ago, his dad played basketball. Dave Chadwick, who you know lives in Charlotte, it's a pastor and the very popular pastor in the Charlotte area. Last weekend on Father's Day, Michael wore his dad's basketball jersey on the platform prior to being announced. He'd been training in Chapel Hill the last year for the Olympic trials. Unfortunately, did not make the team for Tokyo, but did have his dad's jersey on prior to his last heat for the Olympics. I thought that was cool, right? 50 years ago. There's the jersey, by the way. I mean, that's old school Carolina.
I like the old school
from the late 1960s.
I like the old school.
So,
no disrespect to the new school. The old school jerseys are sweet.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Yeah.
Big time.
So, congratulations to Michael. By the way, not only was it Father's Day for he and Dave, it was Michael's first Father's Day. He and his wife been married a couple of years. They had their first child last year, and he wore his dad's jersey. I saw that, and I thought, you know what? That's something that would trigger a lot of generational stuff here on Packer and Durham. The ACC has named its outstanding performers in track and field, by the way, and we wanted to share those with you as well. Yared Nuguse of Notre Dame is the men's track performer of the year. Ellie Hennis of NC State, the women's performer. Isaac Grimes of Florida State won men's field. Michelle Atherley of Miami, women's field, the men's freshman of the year. Claudio Romero of Virginia. Ruta Lassmann of Florida State was the women's freshman of the year. Bob Braman of Florida State, the men's coach of the year. Sean Wilburn of Duke, the women's coach of the year. All of the outdoor track and field honors in the ACC, and our congratulations. So, busy show for a Thursday, by the way.
Glad that Bob won the ACC Men's Coach of the Year. Why? Because in the corner of the basement exists one of the very, very best gifts that we have received, and that is the javelin from the Florida State track and field team. And there it is over there in the corner. Right over there in the corner. I've got it, and I got the sharp end has got the thing on the top so it won't kill somebody, and it's up near the ceiling. So I'm going to have to redo the there it is. I have to redo the studio. Hey, there we go. There's Chester. He's right there in the Goodell chair. There he is. Fuller's back here with me. We're going to have to redo the studio. I got, you know, when we start doing these show takeovers, the school takeovers next Friday, we'll get done with our show next Friday, July 2nd, and then for basically 2.5 weeks, you've got every school taking over the network. I got some serious work to do in here. We got to rearrange some stuff. I got so much stuff in here.
Look here. Wow. There's a chance. I mean, before I come back in that basement, we're going to have to determine where that javelin is, because I may say something and you get mad about it. Next thing you know, you're hauling that javelin at me.
No, that's why I got my
Louisville. Got the bat instead.
I got the Powerizer right here. So if I can't get my hand on the javelin, I can get your attention with this Louisville slugger.
just hit right me here in the head with a bat. Great.
A little pop to the temple
all
and get
of a
you straightened out. Got Notre Dame.
All of a sudden, you're
Notre Dame
John
basketball
Baker
players.
And walking tall.
Yeah, you got Notre Dame basketball players making the Olympics. I don't know what you're doing over there. I'll get you straight with one of these Louisville sluggers. Genuine Louisville slugger.
Next thing you know, you're reprising the role of walking tall as Buford Pusser.
There's a 70s reference. There's a 50-year reference right there.
Mm-hmm.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.